Good morning, KGNU listeners, and welcome to Public Affair. I am your host, Tish Buford, and in studio today, we have a very special guest joining us for the first time. We have the lovely and talented Rebecca Henderson, filmmaker, podcaster, and just all around talented woman joining us this morning. We're going to be discussing women in local media and how they are impacting the political and social and then pop culture environment as we know it here in Denver and throughout the country. She is currently filming her documentary, Running With My Girls, and she'll be talking about that today, her career in filmmaking and the political atmosphere of Denver, Colorado politics and other things going on pertaining to women of color today that are of significance in our climate. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
I have followed your work for a short period of time, but became a fan just because of the authenticity in which you produce your product and the intention behind it. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your career as a filmmaker and what you're currently working on?
Okay, well, my career as a filmmaker is somewhat new. Running With My Girls is currently my third film. My first film that I created was called What Makes a Mother, and it was just it's a 37-minute documentary style. It's interviews with mothers and their children, mostly their adult children. And that was sort of came out of I lost my mother. And it was Mother's Day, and I wanted to make something for other people so they wouldn't end up in the same boat as me, so to speak, and not have any video or sort of things to pass on to their children, like, or their grandchildren. So that was my first film.
Well, that's very touching, and I'm very sorry to hear about your mother passing. But I think it's a brilliant idea of you wanting to memorialize memories for other people that you weren't able to capture with your mother. So that appears to be a very genuine sentiment that will never go out of style because people always want to capture and retain memories.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's who I actually, my partner at the time, at my documentarian partner that I work with, her name is Trish Tolentino, and she has a company called Stories Not Forgotten. And she interviews people, takes their pictures, and puts together essentially like a documentary about your own family. So if you sat down, you fill it out, and that's how I got linked up with her. Sorry, I'm not being particularly concise, but that's how I linked up with Trish from Stories Not Forgotten. And so I loved her product. I thought that was amazing, and I really wanted to capture that because my husband also had lost his mother. And so we wanted to make sure we had something for our only son. So we did do that for Mother's Day, and I did want to add, I completely forgot to mention this before, but we are actually going to be screening it at Teeley's. We have a special event on May 11th, so there's going to be a brunch, and there'll be more details about that. I'll get those over to you when I have them. So I saw this film that was about mixed race people. And I was really excited to watch it because I'm mixed race. I'm part of that loving generation. My parents were married in 71, and interracial marriage was illegal until 1967 in various states. Some states it was legal. Anyway, so I thought it would be, I got really excited. You hardly ever see that kind of film. And then I watched it, and it was not what I thought it was going to be. It was some weird right-wing propaganda that was talking about how, like, white privilege doesn't exist and how, like, more black people should be Republicans. Like, it was a really weird movie, and it made me upset. And our friend, I don't know if you remember, Dr. Gregory Diggs.
Yes.
So he and I were really good friends, and I called him and I said, oh, this movie's so weird. And he told me it was a propaganda piece, and he had seen things like that before. And I said, oh, I want to write about it. This has made me so angry. And he said, don't call any more attention to it. And I said, I'm going to make my own movie. And once I realized that, I thought, oh, I can make my own movie, and I can get Trish from Stories Not Forgotten to help me make it. And so I launched a Kickstarter. We raised $15,000, and we started interviewing people. We just put out a call for people who are mixed race if they wanted to participate any race, or if they were in interracial marriages or anything like that, they just wanted to have a conversation. We filmed them, put it together, and we made a really beautiful short doc. It's about 40 minutes long. And so that film is called All Mixed Up, Our Changing Racial Identities.
So basically, your inspiration for wanting to get into filmmaking was the origin of your parents' union that brought you into the world. And seeing how, through another lens of another person or party, how it was misrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's putting it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
So your inspiration came from the misrepresentation of what you thought should be something presented as positive.
Yeah. I mean, and there were truths in that film. I don't want to say, because that was this one person's experience. And I understand that. But I felt like it was trying to hide something, or it had like an agenda that I don't subscribe to. And so my film is, we don't really say it explicitly in the film, but it is about ending white supremacy, like the ideology of it. Because what it comes down to is, particularly when you're mixed with black, you know, we're all on this ladder to whiteness, right? We all want to be at the top. And so the closer to white you are, the more privileges you have in society.
Metaphorically speaking, right?
Right, yes. Yeah. So like, even for me, as somebody who is light-skinned, my hair is probably a 2B, I don't know. So
your hair has its own agent, right? It has its own personality. Yeah.
So just that the privileges that I get from that are rooted in white supremacy and the myth of white supremacy.
Okay.
And so I also wanted people to understand that, like, there was a lot of pain in that film, and it was painful for me also at times making it and thinking about some of the experiences that I've had. But yeah, I just wanted to, I'm always trying to bring truth to people. I'm always trying to inspire conversations. And I don't even call that film a documentary, All Mixed Up. I call it a conversation starter, because that's what I see it as. It's just people sharing their experience, and a lot of things will come out of that after you see the film. And I've had, it's different every time. Every conversation is, somebody says something different. We just had a screening at the School of Public Affairs, and one of the professors said, you know, I am always asking people, what are you? And I have to know. And I really don't understand why I do that. And this is giving me a reason to think about it. Why do I have to know? Why am I asking someone what their race is?
And to be perfectly blunt, I think people ask what race you are when they can't figure you out on sight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that's why Running With My Girls is so important, because Running With My Girls, for me, struck a chord, because you're not only portraying these women, but you're running with them. So you're mm-hmm. sharing their story, you're sharing their journey and their narrative, and you're sharing commonalities that they have with you. Being a woman of color, being of mixed race, being of a certain gender, and all the challenges that come with that. Now, you said you have made two films, or you've documented two films. Now, your third is going to be Running With My Girls, correct?
Yeah, we're in production right now.
Okay.
So I can't reveal too much, because we essentially have, like, it's not a real NDA. It's more like, I'll beat your face if you talk about the election before anything happens. So everyone who is on my team has signed that agreement. And I am also from a highly litigious family. I come from a family with a lot of high-powered attorneys. And I just want people to know that. So watch it now.
And just to be clear, she's not going to physically harm anyone.
No. Okay. But it is something I really honor, the access and the privacy that the candidates have given me. And I certainly don't want to do anything that I just want to make them sure that they're comfortable. There's nothing like going on. Like, it's nothing scandalous, but it's just, it's a respect, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, and all kidding aside, you just want to protect the privacy of the candidates that you're filming. Mm-hmm. Because it is, you know, partly litigious, but also part respect because you want to honor their privacy.
Also, these are my friends.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's so the title of the film, Running With My Girls, it came from that because these are my homegirls. So they are women that I hang out with, that I'm friends with, that I know, and I'm just like amazed by them, you know? And so when it turned out that they were running for office, I thought, oh my gosh, what an amazing, I should be documenting this. And that's kind of how I came up with the idea for it. But I also, it's sort of the framing of it is what I've been learning as a woman who has been told, oh, you could run for office. You should run for office. I'm sure you've heard that, Tish. People have told you to run, right? Have you ever run?
I have not, but I get asked about 3 times a week.
Yeah, right. And so for me, I could not, like, I always would be like, oh, hell no. You know, like that kind of thing. Like, I'm like, I got skeletons, yo. Like, mm-mm, kind of thing. And also, it just never occurred to me. And so through this process of documenting what's going on, so I don't know if you know the candidates that I'm following. For the mayoral race is Dr. Lisa Calderon. And I'm also following City Council District 9, which is Candice de Vaca. And I am also following District 3, where we are sitting, Veronica Barella.
Okay.
And I did have, and I followed Chantel Lewis, who was RTD District B. And then that's a spoiler. She won. Everybody knows she's in office. So.
Yeah, we found that out a while ago.
Yeah, it was November. I had a very embarrassing moment, but I feel like it's good because I'm trying to let people know that it's okay if you're like ignorant, as long as you're ready to get knowledge, right? And so for me, like, I thought the election was in November for the municipal elections because Chantel's election, but that's like a statewide election, which I didn't know. So, I mean, it's just, you know, these little things. And I got really, I was so embarrassed by that. And everybody made fun of me for a long time. You know, they were like, you didn't even know when the elections were and you're making a documentary.
Well, Rebecca, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who live in this state, in this city and other cities and counties here, that may not know when the municipal elections are. There are a lot of people here in Denver that don't realize that there is an election in 2 weeks.
They're listening to this show and they ready to fill out their ballots because they should have already came in the mail.
Absolutely. And we do encourage everyone who is a citizen that is voting and you're eligible to vote, please vote. Exercise your constitutional right to vote because not voting is more harmful than not voting. So not voting is the worst thing you can do. Please, there are people that have died for this right, to establish this right for generations that they didn't even know existed or that would be created ahead of them. So please, if you do have the honor and the ability to vote, please do so in every election cycle, local, statewide, or nationally, that you're blessed to do so. You're listening to KGNU Community Radio Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford, and I'm sitting in studio today with Rebecca Henderson, and we are so glad to have her with us this morning to discuss her career as a filmmaker and also an activist, because I've heard that you've been very involved with some projects throughout the city and throughout the state regarding women of color and marginalized communities. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I do not call myself an activist, and I like to say that I'm active in my community. Okay. I don't consider myself an activist. There are things that I pay careful attention to, particularly around education, because I have a child. So one of the things that I really support is the Our Voice, Our Schools movement. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's essentially like a Black parent empowerment, and then also like trying to work for the Black and brown children in our schools. And I'm not super involved with that. I don't want to like leave people with that impression, but I really support the work. And I support it with my money too.
Absolutely. Everything matters and everything counts.
So, because I really believe in that work. I'm like, oh, what else do I do? I host a podcast and it's called Off Color. And I try to bring people onto the show who are putting in work and who are doing it, and whatever that looks like, whether it is political, whether they are artists, whether they are poets, whatever they're trying to do to improve their community and spread the word, I'm trying to amplify their voice. And I see that as my role. I feel like I have purpose. And my purpose at this time in my life, it feels like my purpose is to uplift other women of color and make sure that their voices are heard. I like to have my own voice heard too, like, but I really see a lack of that in our media, especially like in journalism.
Absolutely.
And particularly in Denver.
Absolutely, which is why we have you in the studio, because you're a woman of color that's participating in media with her own filmmaking company, and you're trying to uplift others of color through art, through activism, through politics, through pop culture. So that is why having you in studio with us to promote this medium in this fashion through your voice, through your lens, is so vital to what we're trying to accomplish. So that is the focal point and the main caveat of our message today. And you have been conveying it very well. So I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I think you're being a little too humble, but that's okay. That's okay.
No one ever called me humble before.
You are humble. So with your podcast, what are some of the challenges you have faced broadcasting this diverse mix of people from our community?
So one of the things is I'm not particularly technologically savvy in that regard. So I do have to rely on other people, which is hard. I think especially for women of color, when you're like asking someone to do something for you, like there's just sometimes the power dynamics feel off. And my producer is amazing. And White James, if you're listening, thank you so much. but it's like I need him to help me do it. He's also my friend. That's not, you know, it's not really an issue, but he does do. So that is challenging, finding the time and the space and finding venues to be able to do it in. Because we have actually changed the format of the show since Dr. Diggs passed. He was my original co-host on Off Color. I don't know if people know that, but you can go back and listen to the first 10 episodes are with Dr. Diggs, and we do have a couple. We also released a couple of episodes from the archives that we hadn't released. Okay. So I would say they're definitely worth listening to, and to go check those out. The podcast is going great. However, we switched to, because of my producer's schedule, I didn't want to lose my producer, so we used to do it every other week, and so now we're doing a monthly live show, which has been pretty amazing. We've done like two episodes. We did one for Black Stravaganza, which was organized by comedian Janae Burris. She's dope if you don't know her.
I've heard of her. And how was the reception to that?
It was excellent. We liked it so much. So we had Danette Hollowell sang. She was our performer. That was really amazing. And so it went so well that we decided to try it again the next month. And so we went to a restaurant called There, Denver. It's over on the north side. And my first guest, it was amazing, actually. It was Brother Jeff, his cultural center in Five Points. You can check him out.
Absolutely. Very prevalent in the community.
And so then my other guest I had was a young woman named Monty Taj, who had moved to Denver, and she has a podcast called Comfortably Excluded. And it's about being Black in Denver. And so we had this great conversation about kind of like being like old school Black in Denver and the new school Black in Denver, and talking about race and gentrification and all of those things. So that was amazing. But then this month, I was really worried because we were supposed to have a spot. It didn't come through. And actually, we're recording on Sunday the 28th. And I did want to share that, if I may.
You may.
So we will be broadcasting live out of the Unitarian Universalist Church, and we have an amazing few guests, but one of our guests is actually Jeanette Vizguera. She is in sanctuary right now at that church, and so we will be broadcasting live from there.
Yeah, Jeanette Vizguera is one of the pillars of the immigrant movement, and she was voted as one of Time's most significant people, I believe, in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she is a friend of mine as well, and she is a phenomenal human being, and we pray for her sanctuary and her safety of her family and all the others that are fighting to retain their citizenship here inside the United States and have safe sanctuary for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. So she's amazing, as we know, and we will, and it, that will be open. That's an open event.
And again, these are the kind of events that the community needs to know about that you can't just go on TV or see in local media.
Well, and that's the beauty, I feel like, of the digital age is now, like, with a phone, I mean, you're the news now, if you want to be, right?
Absolutely. And everybody has a story. You know, I want to ask you a couple of the things before we get out of here this morning. What has been the most gratifying moment of your filmmaking career, and what has been the most difficult?
The most gratifying moment was when we premiered All Mixed Up. And we premiered it at the C Film Center, and it was sold out. We had a full house, and it wasn't just people that I knew. It was people who'd heard about it, and there were a lot of young people who spoke to me afterwards and said how much the film meant to them. And there were a lot of people, older people who are, you know, my generation, that loving generation, who were crying and saying how touched they were and how they had felt so alone, and they had no idea there was this whole like community of mixed race people who wanted to even get together. And so as a result of that, and it was so gratifying, then we actually organized this one-day event called MTOB, More Than One Box. And it was a whole day celebration, and we had our singers, my husband played, we showed the film. It was really amazing.
That sounds absolutely great.
And it's going to happen again in August. But we're still planning that. I'm trying to do too many things, girl.
No, you can never be too busy. You can never be too busy. So on top of...
Oh, wait. I didn't say my worst thing.
I was going to ask you that. So what was the most difficult and worst thing that you've had to experience so far being a woman of color filmmaker?
I think it's... There is a lack of resources. And I don't think that people understand what it costs to produce a film. And I'm very fortunate because of Trish Tolentino. And I pay her, but I never pay her what she's like worth. You know what I'm saying? She does it because she believes in my projects. She right now, you know, she believes in the candidates that we're supporting. She's not a Denver voter, you know what I mean? But she's like really supporting that. So I think that has been really challenging, is trying to find really highly skilled people to work for what I can afford to pay them.
Absolutely. And I know people that work in Hollywood that have film studios and have music labels, and they're all men.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they're minorities, they are men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very hard as a woman, period, but specifically as a woman of color, to break through in media and entertainment and filmmaking. And because you are such a rarity, and I hate to say that, because you should not be the rarity. You should be the norm, because there are so many women of color that have the talent that should be doing what you're doing. And the other point of having you here today is not only to talk about the magnificent things that you are doing with your company, but inspiring other women of color to do this also, because we need other women, talented women of color, to document our society on all levels.
Well, I'll also say part of the reason that I'm the Running With My Girls piece is these women, they're running together. I mean, that's what we say, you know, we say run far, run together. And I got that from, you know, the African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together, right?
Absolutely.
And so I have loved the sisterhood that I'm seeing, you know, and I would like to see more of that. And I'd like to see us supporting each other, because, you know, there's so much infighting, and I don't know if this is the venue for that, but to talk about, you know, just some of the issues that we face in communities of color, right? around colorism, around socioeconomic background, just so many things. And then, like, is there a shortage of men for us? You know what I mean? Like, is there all of those things? And I just wish, and I hope that I'm creating this with Tantigris Productions, is to have for us to work together. Like, I could not do this without the support of my homegirls, right? I'd like to give a shout out to Leah Murray. Leah is my partner in all of this with the Tantigris. She's been helping me set up my company, all of this stuff. And you know what? I don't even pay her. And she's doing it because she believes in me and because she wants to help me. And I feel like that's a really good example of how we can, like, support each other. And she is a serious feminist, and she's essentially putting her money where her mouth is. She's supporting me because she sees the need for me to have that kind of support.
And I'm thrilled that you have the support that you deserve to match your passion and your enthusiasm.
Well, I wish I could pay her. Join my Patreon.
Here's the thing. The thing that you're providing is enthusiasm, passion, intensity, and focus on things that need to be mirrored and then broadcast out to our society here locally. And you are off to a magnificent start. And I could not be prouder of the work you've done. And in the short period of time that I've known you, again, I have just been delighted to see you run around this community and film all the significant moments that are happening on all levels. And the community loves and appreciates what you are doing. Trust me. So if you don't know that, I'm telling you.
Why are you trying to make me cry and stuff in here?
This is what I do. This is what I do. I want you to know that no matter how difficult this is, you never stop trying. You keep pressing forward, because the legacy that you leave will be spiritual currency for your son and for his son, his daughter, and their children's children and other people's children. And the best way to know that you are doing great work is that you've inspired people that you haven't even met yet. So you just keep on doing the great work that you are doing, my friend.
Okay, I will.
And do you have anything that you want to close with us today? Anything you want to share?
Oh, no, I'm all verklempt from that. I just want people to go to tantigris.com, and you can sign up for my mailing list there. I have merch. You know, we have the Running With My Girl shirts. We have the Tantigris logo. It's sort of a joke, but it's not. My tagline is, what I lack in melanin, I make up in militant. So you can check that out. Oh, and follow me on Twitter.
And what is your Twitter handle?
Right now I'm trying to build my brand. So the new handle is Real Tan Tigress.
All right. And can you spell that real quickly?
RealTanTigress. And let people know if they want to come out on Sunday. That would be great for the off-color taping. Oh, and one other thing. On Thursday night, I'm on Versa, Colorado, and we do a Facebook Live show.
Once again, thank you, Rebecca Henderson, for joining us here on KGNU Community Radio. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. Have a great day, and always stay engaged, be ready, and always be present in your community. Thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful morning.